from the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, welcome to Washington Watch. Good to have you. Thanks so much for joining us as we take you beyond the headlines to hear directly from our nation's leaders and the newsmakers, all in the pursuit of truth on the issues that matter most to you and your family. And we do it all from a biblical worldview. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Washington Watch starts now.
Today I'm announcing new tariffs in key sectors of the economy that are going to ensure that our workers are not held back by unfair trade practices. Bottom line, I want fair competition with China, not conflict, and we're in a stronger position to win that economic competition in the 21st century against China than anyone else because we're investing in America again.
That, of course, was President Joe Biden. He was in the Rose Garden earlier today announcing new tariffs on Chinese goods. Now, I support the tariffs, but I question this continued rhetoric that China is a competitor. China, by its actions, is an enemy. And this is why the House Committee on Oversight and Accountability, under the leadership of Congressman James Comer, is pushing a government-wide investigation into the Chinese Communist Party's efforts, their efforts to target, influence, and infiltrate every sector of American society. Chairman Comer joins us later. And former President Donald Trump's New York City trial has political leaders making the trek to the Big Apple in an effort to expose the weaponization of the judicial system.
It's impossible for anybody to deny that looks at this objectively that the judicial system in our country has been weaponized against President Trump. The system is using all the tools at its disposal right now to punish one president and provide cover for another.
That was House Speaker Mike Johnson, who was in New York City earlier today. We'll talk with Alabama Senator Tommy Tuberville, who was there yesterday. And today marks the 76th anniversary of the modern state of Israel.
We must recognize that these times of real loss have also been a time of important achievements. They have reminded us why we rose up from tragedy and found the power, the courage, the strength, the determination to establish a beautiful and beloved national home, the miracle that is the state of Israel.
That was Israeli President Isaac Herzog. And we're going to talk about the latest in the U.S.-Israel relationship. And we're 13 days away from the 77th World Health Assembly in Geneva, Switzerland, where the World Health Organization is hoping to seal the deal on its pandemic accord, which would give the UN entity tremendous, tremendous power. But could their global power grab be in trouble? We'll talk with Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey. You say, why a state attorney general? Well, 22 state AGs have sent a letter to the World Health Organization in opposition to this treaty. We're going to find out why when General Bailey joins us. And finally, White House correspondent and author Bill Koenig has chronicled U.S. foreign policy slights to Israel with natural disasters in the U.S. Now, are these latest floods and tornadoes in the U.S. related to the Biden administration's undercutting Israel and its war against Hamas? I'll let you decide. Bill Koenig joins us later on this edition of Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com, lots of resources there for you. Also, want to encourage you to join us this coming Sunday, May the 19th, for Pray For and Stand With Israel Sunday. You can find out more about that by going to TonyPerkins.com or texting Israel to 67742. That's Israel to 67742. Also, if you are in the Baton Rouge area, you can join me. I'll be speaking at Jefferson Baptist Church on Sunday morning. You can find out more about that at TonyPerkins.com. Well, we just got word that James Comer is stuck in the Rules Committee testifying. I'm going to go to Victoria Marshall, who's been kind of following the events in Israel today as they celebrate their 76th anniversary. Obviously, this year, much different backdrop. Victoria, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you for having me, Tony.
All right. So give us the latest on how the celebration. I was there in Israel 6 years ago for the 70th anniversary. This year, obviously, much different given what's been happening there over since October the 7th. What's happening on the ground in Israel today that we're tracking?
Yeah, well, obviously there were celebrations in multiple cities, but it was obviously marked with sadness for what is happening currently with the hostages still in Gaza and the war in Gaza still happening. There are two fronts happening right now. Obviously, you have the Israeli military going into Rafah with limited military excursions there in the south, and then also in the north trying to take out Hamas militants. So there's kind of two fronts to the war currently.
The Biden administration, are we seeing any movement on the withholding of these munitions that they announced last week that they were not sending to Israel?
Yeah, so no update on that yet. At the last week, obviously, Biden said he did not want to send more weapons to Israel if they carry forward with a major ground operation or military operation into Rafah. Over the weekend, Secretary of State Anthony Blinken said that the U.S. would not support a major military operation into Rafah without a credible plan by Israel for how they're going to evacuate civilians. And Israel has sent in evacuation warnings to civilians in Rafah. We've seen 500,000 Palestinians move out of that area so far. But right now, the White House hasn't said anything about whether they support a major military operation with that by Israel. I think they want some more action.
All right. Victoria Marshall, thanks so much for updating us on what's happening in Israel today. By the way, also a report from the Jerusalem Post that the IDF has video with Hamas terrorists using UN vehicles in Rafah. This is at the UNRWA compound in Rafah. We may have more on that later. Just got word that Congressman Comer is not going to be on my case. He's going to be stuck in the Rules Committee. But I want to track what's happening with China and these tariffs. I think we have Washington Stan. All right, we're gonna go here in just a minute to get Ben Johnson, Washington Stan reporter. I think these tariffs are important because what we see happening is China flooding, the markets here in the United States with cheap goods. This is where we've lost a lot of our manufacturing. We've become really in many ways kind of addicted to these cheap Chinese products. The trade imbalance, obviously, is one thing. But we are fueling one of America's, I think, America's greatest enemy. Now, we're focused, obviously, on Russia. We're looking at what's happening in the Middle East. But keep your eye on China. China is behind the scenes funding a lot of the discord in various parts of the country, funding our adversaries behind Russia, working with Iran, Hamas, and this is problematic when they are flooding our markets with Chinese goods and American consumers are buying it. They're taking those profits. It's not going back. It's not a profit share to the Chinese people. It's going to the Communist Party to build up their military, to expand their Belt and Roads Initiative, which is literally buying up precious or rare metals and resources around the world for, you know, batteries, different components that they are utilizing to sell to the United States. And this is a national security issue. So what we were going to talk about with Chairman Comer was the fact that there are some that are catching on to this. And this is one of those areas that you don't really see so much. The oversight that Republican committees have to where they can look into this, they can do investigations. It doesn't get a lot of headlines, certainly not with the legacy media, because they don't want to give it the light of day. But this is the powerful tool that even though they have a two-seat margin in the House, they can still, because they have control of the committees, they can do these oversight investigations, they can do investigations into how China has worked its way into various levels of government. In fact, Chairman Comer sent letters to 9 different government agencies asking a series of questions, and they will be collecting that information to see how China is infiltrating and trying to use its influence. It's frankly, it's stunning. as to how they're doing that. Also, Merrick Garland. There's this week we should see the Oversight Committee move forward with contempt of Congress undertaking for Merrick Garland, who has withheld information from Congress that the FBI has. So a lot happening on Capitol Hill this week. And again, just reminding you why, even though it's a slim majority and they only have one chamber, this is really important in holding the administration and the Democrats accountable. So elections have consequences. And so I would encourage you to continue to pray, vote, and stand. All right. Still coming up on this edition of Washington Watch, we're going to be joined by Alabama Senator Tommy Tuberville, who made the trip to New York yesterday to be with former President Donald Trump. And then we're going to look at the connection between the foreign policy of the United States, of the Biden administration, toward Israel and natural disasters. Is there a connection? Bill Koenig has actually written a book about this over the last couple of decades. But what we've seen just in the last few months has just kind of brought all of that back up into the forefront of whether or not these natural disasters are connected to our relationship with Israel and how we've been dismissive or in many ways tied the hands of Israel and their ability to protect themselves and to defeat Hamas. I think the parallels and the connections are stunning. That's why I want Bill to lay that out for you later on this edition of Washington Watch. Okay. Also want to invite you to join us on May the 19th for our Pray For and Stand With Israel Sunday. All right, we've been talking a lot about Israel. Some of you say, why are you talking about this so much? Yesterday you talked about it almost the entire program. I think this is a big issue. I really believe that America's future is connected to this issue. When you look at how we've walked away from biblical truth, we've walked away from God's plan, His word, we've kicked Him out of our society. The only thing that we're doing that is useful, frankly, because we're exporting trash, we're exporting everything that's evil, is that we have been really a protector of Israel. And if we walk away from that, what does the future of our country look like? Now, I know there's a remnant in this country that loves the Lord, continues to pray and seek the Lord. But collectively as a nation, I believe our future is connected with Israel and how we stand and defend that nation. All right. That's why we need to be praying. That's why we need to be voting. And that's why we need to be standing for biblical truth. Hey, when we come back, we're going to be joined by Senator Tommy Tuberville, who was up in New York yesterday. We're also going to get the latest from the senator. He serves on the House, on the Senate Armed Services Committee, on the arms that are being held up from Israel. So all that and more coming up on this edition of Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Christians must be sure to faithfully think about the issues that have taken our culture and many of our churches by storm from a biblical perspective. Family Research Council's David Clawson, along with co-authors Denny Burke and Colin Smothers, released a new book, Male and Female, He Created Them, a study on gender, sexuality, and marriage to help Christians better grasp the Bible's teaching about these issues. This study presents a biblical view of homosexuality, transgenderism, and marriage. With this new resource, readers will be given guidance on specific questions related to preferred pronouns, identity, intersex conditions, and other matters that our churches must be discipling their members to respond to with love and biblical conviction. As part of the study, readers have access to supplemental videos by Dr. Albert Moeller, Dr. Heath Lambert, Reverend H.B. Charles, Dr. Christopher Yuan, Dr. Rosaria Butterfield, and others that expand and elaborate the themes of each chapter. To purchase a copy, go to hecreatedthem.org.
Today we find that global persecutions of Christians is growing more menacing every year. Family Research Council's Lila Gilbert, Ariel Del Turco, and Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin's book, Heroic Faith, shares personal stories from those who have endured religious persecution and gives a close look at the dire situations Christians often face due to dangerous and sometimes deadly opposition to their faith. The book's true stories of persistence and faithfulness amidst crisis offer inspiration and hope. Heroic Faith also provides insights into the ideologies driving the hostility and persecution, what steps the U.S. government might take to help, and how readers can best respond to the struggles of the faithful. It is critical for us to learn from our brothers and sisters who are suffering deeply and to do whatever we can to help. You can get your copy of Heroic Faith wherever books are sold or by going to frc.org/heroicfaith. Again, that's frc.org/heroicfaith. Men are constantly told that there is no place for their thoughts and concerns about abortion. However, this attitude ignores the fact that both women and men are deeply and personally affected by abortion. Furthermore, one does not have to be a woman to know that abortion ends the life of an innocent, unborn child. Every man has a role to play in protecting unborn lives and supporting the mothers in their families and greater community, which is why FRC's Center for Human Dignity has released a resource titled A Man's Guide to Standing for Life. This resource was created to help men positively address the topic of life. This guide will equip men with phrases to utilize or avoid, as well as practical tips for helping to protect life and the expectant mother or unborn child he knows. Every man has the opportunity to be an unborn baby's hero by stepping in to support a mother and speaking up for her child's life. Get this free guide at frc.org/prolifemen to learn more about the important role men play in protecting unborn lives.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to have you with us on this Tuesday. All right, the New York City trial against former President Trump continues this week, representing just one aspect of the left's coordinated effort at lawfare against the 2024 GOP presidential candidate. Now, earlier today, House Speaker Mike Johnson visited the Manhattan courtroom to witness the spectacle for himself, with the far-left judge presiding over the trial having placed a gag order on former President Trump. The perspective of trial observers, such as Speaker Johnson, has become invaluable. Well, joining me now to discuss this is someone else who was there yesterday, U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville from Alabama. He attended the trial yesterday. He serves on four Senate committees, including the Senate Armed Services Committee. Coach, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, how are you? Good to see you.
Good to see you, sir. So you were in the Manhattan courtroom yesterday. Tell us what you saw and experienced.
Well, first of all, I went to support, number one, my friend, Donald Trump, and hopefully the next president of the United States. He's got a gag order on him, Tony, and this is a one-way street. All Democrats, all politicized, the judge on down. We've got a crooked witness that should be in jail right now for what all he's done, how he's lied. He even got on the stand yesterday. I was shocked. He got on the stand yesterday. Said, yeah, I lie sometimes to make sure I get my point over and win as being a lawyer. What the heck? If I was a judge, I'd have stopped it right then and said, okay, enough's enough. I mean, we're not going to go over the testimony of this guy. He's already admitted that he lies. So, but we went up to help President Trump set behind him. And then, of course, he has the gag order. And we had the opportunity to go out and tell and speak on the behalf of President Trump. And it went all over, which is good. And Mike Johnson, as you said today, the speaker did the same thing. And hopefully we'll continue to have more people go up and support President Trump and go out and overcome this gag order that is only on President Trump, nobody else. But this star witness they have goes out every night on TikTok and just rips the president, rips Republicans, rips our country. And he's a crook and a criminal and should be in jail.
This is shocking on so many fronts. It's extremely troubling when you look at how this is radically undercutting our confidence in our judicial system.
Exactly right, Tony. You know, here's one thing I noticed. There was around 20 assistant district attorneys in that courtroom, which was very small to begin with. Cops everywhere, police, the security was unbelievable. Had a few media people, had us. We sat behind President Trump, had the jurors, very uncomfortable place. President Trump has to go spend 7-8 hours a day there for now. This was 17 days. But you had 20 assistant district attorneys. You know, they've only prosecuted 3% of the crime in New York this year. The rest, most of them just go in the front door, out the back door. But all these prosecutors were in there watching this trial. It was their Super Bowl. What the heck's going on here? You know, this is a trial. It should be fair. Obviously, it's not. It's a lot of prejudice going on to the Democratic side. They want Donald Trump to be pulled out as the next representative from the Republican Party for President of the United States. But it's not going to work. He's going to get out of this. This guy got up there. You know, when you get up there and tell people, yeah, I recorded a lot of his conversations I had with him. They played one of them. And when did they allow lawyers to record your client and then play it against them in court? It's amazing to me how this whole thing's working out. It's all weaponized against Republicans.
Troubling on so many fronts, as I said. Of course, the city, as you mentioned, overrun with crime, and this is their focus. I want to switch topics on this. I want to switch the topic of Israel. You're on the Senate Armed Services Committee. You've called the Biden administration's pause on the weapons delivery a betrayal. Tell us why.
Talk's cheap. You know, they're our number one ally, and they've got problems. Everybody says, well, there's a lot of the civilians that might be getting killed or hurt or armed or, maybe even ran out of Gaza. But here's the thing, Tony. This is war, okay? When we went into Iraq, there was a lot of civilians that were killed. Nobody said anything about this. When people attack you, when people come after you, you have the right to take up for yourself. And that's what Israel has done. They were attacked brutally. Several thousand people were killed mercifully. And I've seen the videos, and it's horrifying. We still have hostages, American hostages, in Israel. And Joe Biden is sitting back, trying to play both sides of the fence because he does not want to lose voters, especially in the Muslim areas of Michigan and Minnesota. And so he's trying to play both sides, but he's going to get people killed. That's what's going to happen. This guy, he's the worst leader that we've had in office in many, many, many years. He's letting these young people behind the scenes run our country. There's no organization to what we're doing. We're trying to play both sides of the fence, and you can't do that when it comes to war. Somebody's going to win. Somebody's going to lose. And we are on Israel's side as United States of America because they have been with us since day one, and we need to support them.
Coach, do you see any movement on the administration to release these munitions, these bombs to Israel?
No, not really. I mean, you've got Senator Schumer here in the Senate. I mean, he's not going to do anything. He's not going to push the envelope. We're trying to do things in the House and send letters and stuff, but that doesn't work. I mean, at the end of the day, you have got to have somebody in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue or the President of the United States that can make a decision and do what's best, not just for us, but for our allies. And and he is letting us down. Biden is letting us down on so many fronts. There's not one thing that he's done right, especially in foreign relations, since he's taken office. And it's getting worse. And we're going to end up in a world war if we don't watch it. He's got to stand up for our allies.
I think they're making the world more volatile. There's no question about it. We're out of time, Senator. But what amazes me is that they'll make demands of Israel, but I've not heard them demanding Hamas lay down their arms, release the hostages, and this whole thing would be over.
That's all they have to do. That's all they have to do, and it's over with. But they're not going to do it, and they're going to take the side of Hamas as much as they possibly can. So good talking with you, Tony.
Thank you, Coach. Always good to see you.
See you later.
All right.
Thank you.
And we're going to talk more about that later when Bill Koenig joins us, because I think there's a price to pay for this. There really is. All right, coming up next, we're going to be talking about the World Health Organization that is meeting in Geneva, Switzerland, the World Health Assembly, in about 13 days. And WHO, this pandemic accord, global power grab, but the wheels may be coming off. We're going to talk about it. Don't go away.
Christians must be sure to faithfully think about the issues that have taken our culture and many of our churches by storm from a biblical perspective. Family Research Council's David Clawson, along with co-authors Denny Burke and Colin Smothers, released a new book, Male and Female, He Created Them, a study on gender, sexuality, and marriage to help Christians better grasp the Bible's teaching about these issues. This study presents a biblical view of homosexuality, transgenderism, and marriage. With this new resource, readers will be given guidance on specific questions related to preferred pronouns, identity, intersex conditions, and other matters that our churches must be discipling their members to respond to with love and biblical conviction. As part of the study, readers have access to supplemental videos by Dr. Albert Moeller, Dr. Heath Lambert, Reverend H.B. Charles, Dr. Christopher Yuan, Dr. Rosaria Butterfield, and others that expand and elaborate the themes of each chapter. To purchase a copy, go to hecreatedthem.org.
Today we find that global persecutions of Christians is growing more menacing every year. Family Research Council's Leela Gilbert, Ariel Del Turco, and Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin's book, Heroic Faith, shares personal stories from those who have endured religious persecution and gives a close look at the dire situations Christians often face due to dangerous and sometimes deadly opposition to their faith. The book's true stories of persistence and faithfulness amidst crisis offer inspiration and hope. Heroic Faith also provides insights into the ideologies driving the hostility and persecution, what steps the U.S. government might take to help, and how readers can best respond to the struggles of the faithful. It is critical for us to learn from our brothers and sisters who are suffering deeply and to do whatever we can to help. You can get your copy of Heroic Faith wherever books are sold or by going to frc.org/heroicfaith. Again, that's frc.org/heroicfaith.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Again, to join us on Sunday, May the 19th, that's this coming Sunday, for Pray For and Stand with Israel Sunday, text Israel to 67742. That's Israel to 67742. And again, if you're in the Baton Rouge area, I'll be speaking Sunday morning at Jefferson Baptist Church. Come out and join us. Find out more, go to TonyPerkins.com. The bureaucrats at the World Health Organization missed their self-imposed deadline to submit a finalized draft of their proposed international pandemic accord or treaty with the 77th World Health Assembly that will begin in less than 2 weeks. Actually, it begins on the 27th. Now, this comes as the governments of both the United Kingdom and Slovakia have announced this week that they will not sign the global WHO power grab. As international resistance to this treaty builds, what can we expect from the World Health Assembly? Now, we're hearing that the Biden administration is all ready to sign up, but we're seeing opposition now percolating up from the states. In fact, 22 state attorneys general have sent a letter expressing opposition. Joining me now is one of those attorney generals, Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey. He joined with a coalition of 21 other state attorneys general in sending a letter to President Biden in opposition to the World Health Organization's agreements. General Bailey, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, thank you so much for having me on and covering this important story.
Well, it hasn't gotten a lot of attention. In fact, it hasn't gotten any attention from the legacy media. But we've been talking about it. Obviously, people are very concerned about it. And 21 of your colleagues also concerned about the implications this would have for state governments. Tell us about it.
Well, certainly, I think you characterized it appropriately. The World Health Organization, which has traditionally been an advisory body, is attempting an unprecedented power grab that would actually create the authority within the WHO to enforce pandemic regulations. And what our experience in COVID-19 taught us is that the worst of the worst of tyrannical tendencies of the progressive left come out when there's a perceived or actual emergency like a pandemic. And so movement towards a one world government that whose response to COVID was terrible, was abominable at best, and that has these kind of unilateral tendencies to consolidate power in an international organization is not only unconstitutional and illegal, but is immoral as well.
So, General, what authority does the federal government have to delegate public health decisions to this unelected international body like the World Health Organization?
Well, Tony, you're absolutely right in the fact that the United States Constitution does not give any authority to the federal government to delegate its responsibility for public health policy with either the World Health Organization or to take that authority away from the states. And so the structure of our government matters under our constitutional democratic republic. And the 10th Amendment clearly states that any authority not given to the federal government or denied to the states is enjoyed by the states and the people of the states. And so neither Joe Biden nor even the Congress could delegate this authority to an international body that would seek to enjoy any authority over the people of the United States of America.
I mean, it's quite amazing that they're actually taking away the authority of state governments and giving it to this international body. It's bad enough that they would delegate their own authority or give their own authority away, but they're giving away that of the states. Now, those drafting this agreement, they missed their deadline. This is according to the rules. And they're working now to cobble something together in the 11th hour. This is really kind of marks this whole process. It's been going on for almost 2 years, a lot of it behind closed doors, a lot of it just constantly changing. It's hard to get a grasp on exactly what they're going to propose. Is that going to be the undermining of this? Will that be an opening for those that want to challenge this accord to come after it?
I certainly think so. And as you pointed out, there are some other member nations expressed their explicit reservations prior to what we've seen the WHO do most recently. But certainly having this many states on board with this kind of demand letter and putting the WHO and President Biden on notice that there are significant legal flaws here, aside from the fact that it's a terrible policy position, should be enough to prevent this slouch towards a one-world government.
Yeah, and that's an extremely important point, General Bailey. This is a precursor to one-world government. It's kind of coming in the back door. It's, you know, scaring people because of the pandemic that we've got to have this authority. But you're exactly right. This is setting the stage for one-world government.
Well, we will continue to fight back and ensure that our constitutional rights here in the United States of America and in the state of Missouri are scrupulously protected. And it's in times of perceived emergency that we must be most vigilant in our protection of our constitutional liberties.
All right, General Bailey, always great to talk with you. Thanks so much for joining us on Washington Watch today.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me on.
All right, General Andrew Bailey of Missouri. Okay, here's what you can do, all right? There's still time to act. There is legislation actually designed to force the Biden administration to submit this to the Senate for ratification, which is what a treaty requires, even though they're calling it an accord. They're trying to circumvent the Senate. Text WHO to 67742. That's WHO to 67742. There's House Resolution 1425. In fact, we're going to probably get the author of that bill on later in the week. We've just got to keep the awareness going. We've got to talk to people about this. Again, the legacy media is not talking about it. They don't want people to know about it. But we want people to know about it. All right? All right, when we come back, Genesis 12, the Lord tells Abraham, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. What happens to the nations that curse Israel? We're going to talk about it after the break when Bill joins for Washington Watch. Straight ahead.
Christians must be sure to faithfully think about the issues that have taken our culture and many of our churches by storm from a biblical perspective. Family Research Council's David Clawson, along with co-authors Denny Burke and Colin Smothers, released a new book, Male and Female, He Created Them, a study on gender, sexuality, and marriage to help Christians better grasp the Bible's teaching about these issues. This study presents a biblical view of homosexuality, transgenderism, and marriage. With this new resource, readers will be given guidance on specific questions related to preferred pronouns, identity, intersex conditions, and other matters that our churches must be discipling their members to respond to with love and biblical conviction. As part of the study, readers have access to supplemental videos by Dr. Albert Moeller, Dr. Heath Lambert, Reverend H.B. Charles, Dr. Christopher Yuan, Dr. Rosaria Butterfield, and others that expand and elaborate the themes of each chapter. To purchase a copy, go to hecreatedthem.org.
Today we find that global persecutions of Christians is growing more menacing every year. Family Research Council's Lila Gilbert, Ariel Del Turco, and Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin's book, Heroic Faith, shares personal stories from those who have endured religious persecution and gives a close look at the dire situations Christians often face due to dangerous and sometimes deadly opposition to their faith. The book's true stories of persistence and faithfulness amidst crisis offer inspiration and hope. Heroic Faith also provides insights into the ideologies driving the hostility and persecution, what steps the U.S. government might take to help, and how readers can best respond to the struggles of the faithful. It is critical for us to learn from our brothers and sisters who are suffering deeply and to do whatever we can to help. You can get your copy of Heroic Faith wherever books are sold or by going to frc.org/heroicfaith. Again, that's frc.org/heroicfaith. Men are constantly told that there is no place for their thoughts and concerns about abortion. However, this attitude ignores the fact that both women and men are deeply and personally affected by abortion. Furthermore, one does not have to be a woman to know that abortion ends the life of an innocent, unborn child. Every man has a role to play in protecting unborn lives and supporting the mothers in their families and greater community, which is why FRC's Center for Human Dignity has released a resource titled A Man's Guide to Standing for Life. This resource was created to help men positively address the topic of life. This guide will equip men with phrases to utilize or avoid, as well as practical tips for helping to protect life and the expectant mother or unborn child he knows. Every man has the opportunity to be an unborn baby's hero by stepping in to support a mother and speaking up for her child's life. Get this free guide at frc.org/prolifemen to learn more about the important role men play in protecting unborn lives.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to have you with us. Hey, once again, May the 19th, that's this coming Sunday. Pray for and stand with Israel Sunday. To be a part of it, text Israel to 67742. I invite you to join with thousands of others who will be praying for Israel. We'll have hundreds of churches that will be a part of that. You can be a part of it too. Simply text Israel to 67742. Our word for today comes from 1 Samuel chapter 3, where the Lord is speaking to young Samuel for the first time. And he tells him of the judgment that is coming upon the house of Eli the priest. And Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He answered, "Here I am." And he said, "What is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you, and more so also, if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said to you." Then Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Now this was Samuel's first test. Would he honor and follow the Lord, who he had just personally encountered, or would he yield to the same human desire for acceptance that brought Eli down, who out of fear of offending his sons, offended God? Samuel chose to honor God. God then honored Samuel, and the people were the beneficiaries of that honor. To find out more about our journey through the Bible, text Bible to 67742. That's Bible to 67742. Well, speaking of the Bible provides a very clear and timeless promise in Genesis chapter 12, and with the covenant to Abraham that was made in Shechem. It was there just about a month ago. And he says, and the Lord said, "I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse." Well, the United States has long stood as an ally to Israel and reaped the rewards of God's blessings. And I believe the blessings that we have had in large part are due in the last 76 years to the fact that we have stood resolutely with Israel. Now, in recent weeks, we've seen the Biden administration kneecap Israel's efforts to defeat Hamas. That coincides with a rash of natural disasters throughout the United States. Now, this is not the first time. We've seen this going all the way back to when in 2004, I've talked about this on the program, I was in some of the meetings, where the Bush administration was working then to encourage Israel to pull out of what is now Gaza, which we're now, all this is, this war is being fought over. There used to be Jews in there. The IDF used to provide the security until there was the disengagement in 2004. And then 2007, Hamas was elected as the government. Well, joining me now to discuss this in terms of the connection between our foreign policy with Israel and natural disasters here in the United States is former White House correspondent Bill Koenig. He's the director of the Koenig World Watch Daily. He's also the author of Eye to Eye, Facing the Consequences of Dividing Israel. Bill, welcome to Washington Watch.
Great to be with you, Tony.
You know, as I was watching these storms over the last few weeks, you know, I thought, you know, there's got to be a connection after reading, you know, your book back that was updated in 2017, Eye to Eye. There's too many parallels, too many connections to be coincidence. Share with what you've recently seen in terms of the connection between what the United States has done regarding Israel and what's been happening here in terms of natural disasters.
Well, thank you, Tony. The main thing is the premise of Eye to Eye is when we apply, American presidents apply pressure on Israel to divide their covenant land, or in other words, to create an Arab state in Judea and Samaria, we have massive record-setting events, corresponding events. It's usually within the same day or within 24 hours. And I've noticed from over 20 years of documenting this, the greater the pressure on Israel to divide their land, the greater the corresponding catastrophe. We have 40 record hurricanes in the U.S., all connected to what we were doing with Israel at the time of the hurricane. Three of the four largest tornado outbreaks also have a connection to what we were doing with Israel at the same time. And also 9/11. 17 days from 9/11, President George W. Bush was working on dividing the covenant land of Israel. And we had these enormous catastrophic events. And that's what we're experiencing right now, Tony.
All right, so let's connect what we've... Well, let me go back. Hurricane Katrina, at the time, one of the most costly that America had experienced. It was during the Bush administration. Was that connected to anything?
Absolutely. President Bush and Ariel Sharon had worked on the disengagement plan. This was in late August 2005. And the purpose of the plan was to move 9,500 Jews out of southern Gaza into other parts of Israel. This is the disengagement plan. Right after the forced eviction of 9,500 Jews from their homes, their synagogues, their businesses, President Bush called Sharon and congratulated him for this very significant and what he called a courageous move. Within a couple hours, a tropical depression formed between the Bahamas and Miami. And within 24 hours, it was Tropical Storm Katrina, 48 hours Hurricane Katrina, and it's been the largest disaster in U.S. history. The parallels of what happened in Israel that 7 days is incredible and very significant because of parallels. We had Americans dislocated to 32 states around the country. We had Israelis dislocated throughout Israel and on. So absolutely.
All right, some say, well, coincidence. It just happened. Bring us forward to even what we've just experienced in the last few months.
Well, especially April. April was the second largest month of tornadoes in U.S. history. There was 300 tornadoes, most of them at the end of April, when Joe Biden was forcing or putting pressure on Israel to cease fire. Secretary of State Blinken was in and out of Israel. They were talking about stopping a weapon transfer and putting a tremendous amount of pressure on the Netanyahu government not to go into Rafah. And what's interesting, Tony, is the last time, or the record-setting April hurricanes, that was 757 in 2011, when U.S. Ambassador to the U.N., Susan Rice, and Hillary Clinton and the White House were calling specifically the settlement communities in Israel illegitimate. And that became the mantra for the Obama administration.
Now, just recently, we also had floods in Houston, significant floods, not just normal floods, but, I mean, quite unusual floods. That connected to one of these actions?
Absolutely. May 1st and May 2nd, Secretary of State Blinken was in Israel, meeting with the Israelis, meeting with Middle East leaders in Saudi Arabia, talking about the possibility of normalization agreements, but primarily a normalization agreement between Israel and the Saudis, but primarily extending significant pressure along with what Joe Biden was doing from Washington and in the press. Right at that time, a massive rain producer fell on Houston. It's very significant, one of the largest floods in the history of Houston. The last time there was a significant flood in Houston was in August of 2017, when Jared Kushner was traveling around the Middle East trying to get Middle East leaders to support his two-state plan. He was in Saudi Arabia, Doha, Qatar, United Arab Emirates, Jordan, Egypt, met with the Palestinians and met with the Israelis, and a remnant of a storm developed into Hurricane Harvey, which is the second costliest flood in U.S. history.
So God is not a respecter of political parties. It's anyone who seeks to divide that land, that covenant land which he gave to the Jewish people. The record suggests there are consequences.
Absolutely. You can feel the collective, or even sense it in the spirit, the collective fury or the wrath of the God of Israel when they talk, first of all, pressure Israel to divide their covenant land that God gave them according to Genesis 15:18 from the Euphrates River through four or five Arab countries today and into Egypt. You can see it. And that's what I mentioned earlier, Tony, the greater the pressure on Israel to cooperate and to pressure them, the greater the corresponding catastrophe in the United States, because most of these events have happened here because we've been the point man in the peace process. But at times, the French, the British, and the Germans have been very involved, and even during our U.S. elections took a more direct role, and the same thing happened to them in Germany, in France, in Britain, as I mentioned. So whoever attempts to touch or divide or create new boundaries suffers the consequences.
Well, the backdrop to what's happening right now, as the administration is kind of tying the hands of Israel as they seek to eliminate the threat of Hamas, quietly working in the background is the push for the two-state solution. We've heard that from the Biden administration. They're working on that to advance that. And, you know, just from a political standpoint, it makes absolutely no sense. Why would you reward the terrorist of Hamas and what happened there and the brutality and what they did on October the 7th with giving them a two-state or giving them their own state, which is what Biden is suggesting? I would think that doing it in this context, dividing the land, would lead to even worse consequences for us as a nation.
Well, no doubt about it, Tony. And I think I need to go back to September 22nd of last year. The Biden administration was applying tremendous pressure on Israel and the Saudis and Netanyahu, and the Saudis were talking about normalization agreement. And on 9/22 at the UN, Netanyahu gave his speech, and he talked about a new time of peace for Israel in the Middle East. He even had a graphic that showed the new Middle East. He talked about Arabs and Jews getting along. He talked about hope for a future. He alluded to a Palestinian state and talked about the importance of normalized relations with the Saudis. At the same time, Crown Prince bin Salman was on national TV in America doing interviews talking about this moment of peace between Israel and the Saudis, and was very optimistic as well. 15 days later, Netanyahu went from the Middle East peacemaker to the Middle East leader that was at war, being chastised for the fact that Israel was not prepared. And I'm a big supporter of Netanyahu. I think he's been a fantastic prime minister, and he's definitely the man for the hour to deal with the Iranian threat. But he went from a man of peace to a man of having to deal with the situation where over 1,200 Jews were slaughtered in their homes and various other places, bases according, and other places. And then and also having to defend Israel's actions over the last 7 months to the international community. So in many ways, he is the guy that they're looking to get things back in order. But Netanyahu's committed. He says we have to eliminate the Hamas problem. And he's committed to that despite the pressure from the White House. But what's interesting, Tony, in some of the recent articles is Joe Biden's political approval and his handling of this is affecting his campaign. And many people in the secular leftist media of America are saying the outcome of this could very well affect Biden's attempt at reelection in November.
Do you think it affected Donald Trump's reelection in 2020 as Jared Kushner was pushing for that two-state solution then?
Absolutely. And when I speak to audiences, I say there was no better friend of Israel than President Trump. He did more for Israel than all American presidents combined. But he came forward with the Trump-Kushner plan in January of 28 of 2020. And I wrote a commentary, Life in America Before January 28, 2020, and Life After. There is no doubt that the consequences right after that, Peter Navarro was warning the White House, we have a serious COVID problem the same day of the introduction of the plan. And then throughout the summer of the efforts toward the Abraham Accord, every time Kushner was pushing hard on the Abraham Accord, we had massive record-setting hurricanes. We've had a hurricane, Hurricane Laura, that disrupted the Republican convention of 2020. And on September 15, at the signing ceremony,
right,
with Emirates, Bahrain, Netanyahu in the U.S., Hurricane Sally was about to hit the southern Gulf Coast. And the Hebrew derivative of Sally is Sarah. So in other words, Hurricane Sarah was about to hit the southern Gulf Coast right after the signing of the Abraham Accord of September 15, 2020.
Well, Bill, my takeaway is we've got to get leaders who will support Israel and stand solidly with them, or I'm going to have to move out of Louisiana because we keep getting all these hurricanes down there.
Yeah, that was, Bill, a tough summer. Yeah.
Fascinating, Bill, and you've got me convinced. When you look at the record, there's no other explanation, and it is in line with Scripture as well. Bill Koenig, I want to thank you for joining us. Always great to talk with you, my friend.
Thank you, Tony. Always a pleasure to be with you. God bless you.
And folks, you can get a copy of his book, Eye to Eye, Facing the Consequences of Dividing Israel. Doesn't come up to the present, but comes up to 2017. Irrefutable, in my view. All right, out of time. Thanks so much for joining us. Until next time, I leave you once again with the words of the Apostle Paul, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, when you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.